This is the 2010 WAIS examination in English as an additional language or dialect, Stage 2. Section 1, Listening. You will hear two texts. Each text will be played twice. There will be a short pause between the first and second readings. You may make notes at any time and answer the questions in the spaces provided in your question-answer booklet. Text 1 will begin in 2 minutes. Use this time to read the questions for Text 1. Text 1. A Narrative About Migration. First Reading.
I am the voice you will hear. I am the narrator. Sometimes, when I have a quiet moment, which isn't very often these days, I find myself drifting back to times when I was a child, and especially the time when Mum told us we would be leaving our tiny council house in England, where I'd spent all of my life, and going to Australia on a boat. We had thought about leaving England for years, and Dad had become famous for his stories of what he would do once he reached the shores of his new home. Mum and Dad even got remarried after being divorced before I was born in order to satisfy the immigration regulations. And yet, when the day arrived to inform the British immigration authorities of our acceptance of 4 passages to Perth, Western Australia, Dad was looking pale. The time had come to make a decision that would change our lives forever, and Dad just couldn't do it. No amount of persuasion could get him on the boat. So the opportunity of a 4-week cruise to unknown lands was not taken up. Only, that is, until 6 months later, when Dad was given a second and final chance to say yes, and he did this time. The day we left, it was cold and miserable. Nobody waved us off, except for my sister's boyfriend of the time. I was 8 years old. My sister was 19 years old. On the boat, we were given sittings for meals, and to my horror, Mum, Dad and my sister ate at one dining room sitting and me at the earlier sitting with 3 other children that I didn't know. I sat at the table without looking anyone in the eye and felt sick with shyness. But eventually I came to know the 3 other girls eating with me every day as good friends. We survived rough seas for several days in the Atlantic Ocean, during which no one except for us was spied eating in the dining room. I spent my hard-saved money on a stuffed toy koala costing 29 shillings, and then wished I hadn't. My sister forced me to dress up as a ballerina in the ship fancy dress party. The same sister then became very friendly with the Italian ship steward and enjoyed having spaghetti thrown all over her in the crossing the line ceremony when we crossed the equator. Life was dreamlike. I had never been out of England before, and I loved the endless days of sunshine and laziness. On May 31, 1967, we first saw Western Australia, Fremantle Port. The rain was driving down and it was cold. The streets of Fremantle were badly lit and there were few people around except some sailors and late-night fishermen. The buildings looked grey, run down and old. "What have we done?" whispered my mum. We had come from nothing in the hope of finding something. Dad had been a painter and decorator, and Mum had been a cleaner during the week and a canteen lady at the local bus station on weekends. Life had been hard, and we were poor. How could this be any better? The something we were promised was looking very unappealing as we sailed into the port. It didn't resemble images we had seen of people riding bicycles with no shoes on in warm, sunny weather, lovely bright-coloured bungalows with blue roofs, and cuddly furry animals wandering around in parks. We felt like we had been misled. At that instant, I wanted to go home. I wanted what was known to me. I wanted to be English, not Australian. We were taken to a place called Silver City, so named because each house was made from a tin army hut used as an underground shelter during war times. Each hut was divided in half and housed two families. There were only two rooms, so it was very warm and cosy, but the walls were thin, and Dad could be heard frequently telling the children of the family next door to go to sleep, thinking it was me. I hardly saw Mum at all, because she worked such long hours. But this forced me to come out of my shell, and I was happy. There were children everywhere to play with, and I was surprised to find I enjoyed having my meals in a big canteen, even more so because this time my mum was there to serve me. Suddenly, I became more confident and outgoing. At school, some kids treated us migrants with a certain amount of suspicion, making sure they didn't include us in their games and letting us know that we were second-rate Australians. But at home, life was fun. Trampolines in the big hall, youth clubs, and new friends. I began to develop a new identity, that of a new arrival. No longer completely English, but not really Australian either. Unlike us, many families didn't stay. They survived the two-year minimum period and went back to the United Kingdom, or paid to go back earlier. Identity is a strange thing, and many people spend their whole lives searching for it. They can move from country to country, searching for who they are and their place in the world. To this day, over 43 years later, I am unsure about my identity. I am an Australian citizen and a British subject. I have dual nationality and two passports. I have lived in both countries for equal amounts of time, and yet I remain the person I was when I was 8, a citizen of a time that no longer exists. This must be the feeling of all those who are uprooted from what they have come to know as their birthplace. Home is memories and stories. Home is a feeling rather than a place. Home is different things to different people.
Text 1. Second reading.
Sometimes, when I have a quiet moment, which isn't very often these days, I find myself drifting back to times when I was a child, and especially the time when Mum told us we would be leaving our tiny council house in England, where I'd spent all of my life, and going to Australia on a boat. We had thought about leaving England for years, and Dad had become famous for his stories of what he would do once he reached the shores of his new home. Mum and Dad even got remarried after being divorced before I was born in order to satisfy the immigration regulations. And yet, when the day arrived to inform the British immigration authorities of our acceptance of 4 passages to Perth, Western Australia, Dad was looking pale. The time had come to make a decision that would change our lives forever, and Dad just couldn't do it. No amount of persuasion could get him on the boat. So the opportunity of a 4-week cruise to unknown lands was not taken up. Only, that is, until 6 months later, when Dad was given a second and final chance to say yes, and he did this time. The day we left, it was cold and miserable. Nobody waved us off, except for my sister's boyfriend of the time. I was 8 years old. My sister was 19 years old. On the boat, we were given sittings for meals, and to my horror, Mum, Dad and my sister ate at one dining room sitting, and me at the earlier sitting with 3 other children that I didn't know. I sat at the table without looking anyone in the eye and felt sick with shyness. But eventually I came to know the 3 other girls eating with me every day as good friends. We survived rough seas for several days in the Atlantic Ocean, during which no one except for us was spied eating in the dining room. I spent my hard-saved money on a stuffed toy koala costing 29 shillings, and then wished I hadn't. My sister forced me to dress up as a ballerina in the ship fancy dress party. The same sister then became very friendly with the Italian ship steward and enjoyed having spaghetti thrown all over her in the crossing the line ceremony when we crossed the equator. Life was dreamlike. I had never been out of England before, and I loved the endless days of sunshine and laziness. On May 31st, 1967, we first saw Western Australia, Fremantle Port. The rain was driving down and it was cold. The streets of Fremantle were badly lit and there were few people around except some sailors and late-night fishermen. The buildings looked grey, run down and old. "What have we done?" whispered my mum. We had come from nothing in the hope of finding something. Dad had been a painter and decorator, and Mum had been a cleaner during the week and a canteen lady at the local bus station on weekends. Life had been hard, and we were poor. How could this be any better? The something we were promised was looking very unappealing as we sailed into the port. It didn't resemble images we had seen of people riding bicycles with no shoes on in warm, sunny weather, lovely bright-coloured bungalows with blue roofs, and cuddly furry animals wandering around in parks. We felt like we had been misled. At that instant, I wanted to go home. I wanted what was known to me. I wanted to be English, not Australian. We were taken to a place called Silver City, so named because each house was made from a tin army hut used as an underground shelter during war times. Each hut was divided in half and housed 2 families. There were only 2 rooms, so it was very warm and cosy, but the walls were thin, and Dad could be heard frequently telling the children of the family next door to go to sleep, thinking it was me. I hardly saw Mum at all, because she worked such long hours. But this forced me to come out of my shell, and I was happy. There were children everywhere to play with, and I was surprised to find I enjoyed having my meals in a big canteen, even more so because this time my mum was there to serve me. Suddenly, I became more confident and outgoing. At school, some kids treated us migrants with a certain amount of suspicion, making sure they didn't include us in their games and letting us know that we were second-rate Australians. But at home, life was fun. Trampolines in the big hall, youth clubs, and new friends. I began to develop a new identity, that of a new arrival. No longer completely English, but not really Australian either. Unlike us, many families didn't stay. They survived the 2-year minimum period and went back to the United Kingdom, or paid to go back earlier. Identity is a strange thing, and many people spend their whole lives searching for it. They can move from country to country, searching for who they are and their place in the world. To this day, over 43 years later, I am unsure about my identity. I am an Australian citizen and a British subject. I have dual nationality and 2 passports. I have lived in both countries for equal amounts of time, and yet I remain the person I was when I was 8, a citizen of a time that no longer exists. This must be the feeling of all those who are uprooted from what they have come to know as their birthplace. Home is memories and stories. Home is a feeling rather than a place. Home is different things to different people.
Now answer the questions for text 1.